Well, good morning and a happy new year to you all. It doesn't seem right that new year was just a couple of weeks ago. In one sense, it seems as if it's an eternity. And yet here we are just on the 14th of January, looking towards what God is going to do with us as two congregations over these next 12 months. And this morning, I very much want to share something of which I believe God is speaking to us as one church with two congregations. And I shared this with the congregation in Durham last week. And so those of you who were in Durham last week, you may as well just come and share this now, and I'll go and have a sit down. But you will see that the maps have improved enormously. And there's a story behind this. We'll have a look at that later on when we get to some geography. But this morning, what we're doing is we're thanking God for all that He's done for us in these past few months, but very much looking forward to what He's got for us in 2018. And I've got to practice saying 2018 because it's just so easy to slip into the wrong year. It's a bit like when you come to write checks, you know, at the turn of the year. Those people who know what a check is, the younger generation, it's a bit lost, really. But those of us who know what a check is, you get to January, you write a check, and you realize you've got it a year out of date. So you're allowed to shout if I say the wrong year. Right? We need some participation here this morning. But where I want to begin is looking at the story of Simeon, which we find in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read from verses 25 onwards. A very familiar story, and this is read very often at this time of year. It's just a coincidence, in a sense, that I believe that this is relevant for us at this time, because it's very much to do with the work of the Holy Spirit. And as we look into this coming year, 2018, then we need to be aware that we need the power of God in order to see anything happen. Because the reality is, we can work very hard, we can put in hour after hour of whatever, in terms of church life, reaching out together, but unless the Spirit of God is breathing life into what we are doing, it is pointless. It's the difference between singing a song and truly worshiping Jesus. The difference is the Spirit of God breathing life and bringing the presence of Jesus into what we're doing. So I'll give you the punchline right at the beginning. I'm not asking for our response to be one of hard work and more effort, so you can relax. That's not what I'm going to be asking for. I will tell you what I'm going to ask for when we get to the end. I don't want to spoil it all. But when we look at the story of Simeon, it is an absolutely beautiful story. And I want to read from verses 25 of Luke chapter 2. And I have deliberately chosen to read the Authorized Version because there's such magnificence in the wording. The poetry here is just incredible. And many of you may well have other versions, but I think there is something in this. And for many of us, as we read through this, it just resonates with us because we were brought up on the Authorized Version of the Scriptures. So I'm going to read from verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And this is the key to the unlocking of this scripture. The Spirit of God is present every step of the way. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him in his arms and he blessed God and he said, and it's this verse here which is really why I've chosen the Authorized Version, because it's, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation which thou prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. What an incredible story this is of a man who is prompted by the Spirit of God. And we see as we read through this story, the Spirit is upon him. He's guided by the Spirit. He receives revelation by the Spirit. In verse 25 it says, the Spirit already spoken to him. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Spirit is upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death until he had seen the fulfillment of that which God had promised. And this is so important for us, to be a people who are open to the Spirit of God, that the Spirit might speak to us and reveal the things of God. But then we see there is an action we need to take in order to see that fulfillment. And that action can be different for any one of us. But this man Simeon, he is hearing God. It's revealed to him by the Spirit of God that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now if we look at pictures, old masters, Rembrandt has a painting of Simeon. And it's pictured as an old man with a long beard. And yet, when we read the scriptures, there is no indication as to the age of this man. Now, many, many years ago, when I was sharing about Simeon, someone who was sitting in this very room came and tackled me afterwards. And if you're here and you're that person, would you just put your hand up? Would everybody now look at Janet? Because Janet just came and said, you know, because we assume, don't we, that as we read this and he says, Lord, lettest thou thy servant now depart in peace. We assume that he's got to an old age, that his life is complete, God's come and revealed, and yet there is nothing in Scripture to say anything about the age of Simeon. Now, as we read through the story of Jesus as revealed in Luke, ages of certain people are mentioned, but it's not for Simeon. Now, what if Simeon is not an old man, but he is a young man? And I'm hanging all of this on the revelation Janet gave me. So if you don't like it, please just blame Janet at the end. I've got no problem with you blaming other people for what I say. But if he's a young man, what it means is that God has revealed something to this young man about what he will see in his lifetime. And once that revelation has been fulfilled, he can then safely depart because God has fulfilled the calling upon that man's life. So when we look at the years, it's not how many years we live. It's what we do and it's what we achieve in God with the years that we have. Jesus was not an old man when he was crucified. He's relatively young man, even in those days where people tend not to live, you're still just middle-aged. And you know, you get to that certain age in life where everybody seems to be younger than you are, but at the end of the day, you're still just middle-aged. Doesn't matter how old you're just middle-aged. But you know, if we could grasp the reality that it's not how many years we've got, it's what we do with the years that we've got. What a transforming revelation that is for us, because it means that each and every day is a day for us to serve Jesus and leave the future to him. And, you know, we hear stories of people who seem to be taken early. They depart this life much younger than we might have wanted, but the important thing is that in the years you have got, you fulfill the calling of God for you. And you simply do that by being obedient to the revelation you've received. And again, this is different for each and every one of us. So it's not that I'm sitting next to someone and comparing myself with someone else. What is the revelation you have received? What is the calling you have received? And what must you do in response to that revelation? Now, when we look at Simeon, you know, the revelation is that he is going to see the consolation of Israel. He's going to see the Lord's Christ revealed to him. But what does he see? He goes in obedience to that revelation. He goes up to the temple. It says he came by the Spirit into the temple. So he's led by the Spirit into the temple. And he sees a baby. He sees this young child. And that's it. There's something happens within his heart that says, this is the fulfillment of the promise of God to you. And in some respects, it's not much, is it? You know, it isn't. You go and you think, well, he saw a young child. There were no great miracles being performed. I doubt whether the choirs of heaven were singing, certainly not recorded. But there's something in him that says, now my life is complete. Now, as he says, he could depart in peace according to the word of the Lord, because my eyes have seen thy salvation. My eyes have seen the fulfillment of what you revealed to me. And he can go. So, brothers and sisters, as we look at this new year, let us use every opportunity just to be in tune with what God is saying to us, that we might live in the ongoing fulfillment of his purposes and plans for each one of us. And we can do that because God has promised his Spirit to everyone who calls upon him. When we read the story of Simeon, you know, we've got to recognize that he is living before the day of Pentecost. And so he had this wonderful privileged position, the Spirit coming upon him. But at the day of Pentecost, you didn't have to be that unique individual. The Spirit is now available for all who call upon the name of the Lord. On the young and the old, men and women are all able to call upon the Lord and receive that outpouring of the Spirit and live in that dimension that Simeon lived in, where day by day we're hearing God speak to us, where day by day we're living in that revelation, by day we're responding to what we receive and seeing God's promises fulfilled. And so as we look at Simeon, I believe there's a great encouragement for us, because we need to be that community living in the light of what the Spirit of God reveals to us and responding to that. When we got together on New Year's Eve in Durham, Taiwo shared with us. And he shared with us about the wedding at Cana, where Mary tells the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. And that was Simeon's response to the revelation he received. He simply did what he was told to do. You know, he's guided by the Spirit and he moves in accordance with that. Simeon had to move his feet in order to get into the temple. He was the one who was responsible for what happened to his feet. You know, when it says he was taken by the Spirit, it's not like a sort of Dalek that floats along. It's very much he would feel prompted inwardly, and he had to move according to that prompting. And that simply means, as Mary said to the people at the wedding at Cana, do whatever Jesus tells you to do. And there can be no greater calling upon a people than to be in obedience to the call of Jesus, just do what he tells you to do. Because as we act in obedience to the revelation we receive, we will see the fruit at the end. We will see the fulfillment, because God will always be true to his promises. Now, over the summer, this is where I get to look at this coming year. In the light of all I have said, in the light of the fact that we need to hear this revelation from God, we need to act in obedience with revelation in order to see God do something. Over the summer, as I was praying towards this, the new year, then God started just to whisper something to me about the land. It started by thinking about areas that would take us 10 to 15 minutes of travel time to get into either this congregation or into the Durham congregation. 10 to 15 minutes. And as I mulled over this, I was more and more drawn to the, and I'm not claiming any scriptural warranty for this, you know, you can find this, but there's often reference made to the land to the east, but I'm not claiming that. I'm simply thinking, this is what God said to me about the land to the east of the A1. So, you know, you're mulling over these things, and God sort of builds up a picture, slowly, step by step, and just continues to whisper some of these things into my spirit. And I came back and shared this with the elders, and we just believe it's something that God has got for us in this coming year. And I began to look at the A1, A19 corridor. Now, let's have a picture. Now, if you were in Durham last week, you will see that that is a vast improvement on the one I produced last week, because I had an Olin survey map, and someone said the best way to do it is just to take a photograph of the Olin survey map and project that. So, because I am so technically minded, I had someone else take a photograph of the A1's 19 corridor and produce something that was less than good, wasn't it? Less than good. But what that did do, I had several people who emailed copies of the A119 corridor afterwards, almost saying, look, this is what you need. So it worked. They took pity on me. And so there we have one picture that was emailed, that was the first one emailed to me, where it gives you an idea of the sort of northeast area where we are based. So that was the first one, but it is quite difficult to pick out the A1 and the A19. So when I get back to Durham, I will have a word with the person who sent me this, and I'll say, the Chesley Street congregation thought your picture was rubbish. You know, just to encourage them. Now, the next one. Right. Now, this is the second one that was sent to me, which does bring a little bit of clarity, because you can read some of the names and you can pick out the A1 on the left and the A19 on the right. Or those who wish to be technical, you have the A1 on the west and the A19 on the east. And God was just, I believe, prompting me that there is an incredible harvest he wants us to reap within that corridor. Now, before we go any further, I'm not saying we stop doing anything where we are at the present. Someone at the end of last week came up and said, I don't live in that area, does that mean I've got to stop doing everything I'm doing? Said, no, that is not what is being said. We're not stopping anything, but I do believe that this is an area that God wants us to focus on primarily at this stage in prayer. So we continue with everything that we are doing. We continue building community wherever we are, building contacts wherever we are. But within this area, I believe we pray, and I'm going to come back to that in a little while. But it is a vast, vast area. And traditionally, Emmanuel has not looked to the east. We've more or less looked to the west of Durham. We've not looked. We have a strong community in Belmont. But once you get beyond that, up to probably about September, October, we only had one family coming through from Houghtonley Spring. But what was so encouraging for me was that God was provoking this in me. And then completely unexpectedly, a new family started coming through to Durham from Houghtonley Spring. And we've not seen that, literally, we've not seen that for years. And I wouldn't have thought so much about it if God had not been provoking this in me before that. And then they come and you think, you know, I do believe they are a first fruit of what God has got for us. But if we look at the A1, A19 corridor, some of you here this morning live within that corridor. And this is where we need some help and some participation. Will you put your hand up if you live that side of the A1, east of the A1? I see those hands. Now, I'm going to discount the Belmont people, as I did last week. And it's not that God doesn't love you. It's just you don't work in this situation. But we have a number of people who travel a considerable distance to get here. So I'm going to ask if Ian and Emma would just come out. Now, I've promised Ian and Emma they only have 20 minutes to speak. So would you just come out here, because I just want you to... Does this work? Hello. Would you just share with people where you live, how long it takes you to travel through, what your bank details are, and anything else that might be relevant?
Right. are we on? Good. Well, Em and I, for those who don't know us, we travel from here. So it's a village called Thornley. So between Cassop and Wheatley Hill, that is Thornley. And just on this edge, pretty much just about there, is where we live. So for us, it takes us, on a good morning, about 45 minutes to leave the house. But when the kids are more amenable to that, about 20 minutes to get here. So yeah, it's about a 20-minute drive. Jump onto the A1, keeping to the speed limit, obviously. And we can make it. Google says it's 23 minutes, so it's 23 minutes officially to get here.
Excellent, thank you. Will you just stand there a moment? I'll just take that. Thank you very much. Now, that's in the Deep South. John and Lindsay, where can you come out?
You're going to have to be tall.
He's going to have to reach up there. Right, you just show.
Hi, guys. We're John and Lindsay. We live in Washington, which is right at the top there. It didn't take us very long to get here, really. About 11 minutes, something like that. Yeah, by car. Take a lot longer to walk, obviously.
11 minutes. Yeah. Right, so you come over this side. Right. So we've got 23. We've got 11. Janet, you put your hand up. Do you want us to pray for your confusion? How long does it take you? Are you working on... And this is from Framwellgate. You're the wrong side of the A1. Just pray for her, will you? Just pray. Do we have anyone else who lives in the area I'm talking about who isn't as confused as Janet? Anyone? That's it. Now, I believe that in these coming years, God is going to draw increasingly a number of people in from this corridor. And we should not put limits on in our own thinking. You know, it's so easy for us to limit what God can do. And who would have thought, now let's be honest, hello. Who would have thought that in planting a congregation in Chesley Street, you would attract a family from Thornley? Now that was not in our thinking. No, it wasn't. No, but you see, I think this is just something of what God is doing. And when we look at this map, what we find is that Ian and Emma pass the true church at Durham to get to this congregation. They're with us. But you see, this is so exciting, because as you look at Chester Street Congregation in the North, Durham, we can cover a huge area. And people are attracted to the life of God. And there is a reason why this dear couple and kids, how many kids?
Two
children, travel through to come here. 23 minutes. You know, we need to pray. We're going to be praying with this couple at the end. So thank you very much for that. That was easy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was easy.
When do I stop at 20 minutes?
I'll let you know. Now, John and Lindsay are sitting down, but we haven't finished with them yet. So, hello. Can you Is there any chance that you could point out where you travel from on there again? Marvellous. Excellent. And that's just a few minutes travel. Now, the interesting thing is, this is part of Washington, right? If you check on just how many people live in Washington, it's around about the...
50,000, I think.
Well, if you...
50 plus.
It's 50 plus.
Yeah.
Depending on which, you know, exactly where you draw the boundary. But you're talking about a population of over 50,000 people within 15 minutes travel of where we are gathering this morning. And we're going to be praying with you two as well. And we're not praying specifically for them as a couple or for you and them as a couple, but as being seeds or the first fruits or the deposit of that which God is going to do for us in those areas. There we are. Easy. Thank you very much. So looking at this area, within that corridor, there's something like 140,000 people live within that corridor from Washington down to just south of Thornley. 140,000. The vast majority, of course, of those being in Washington. And when we look at some of these communities, there is very little of charismatic church life. And this is what we're seeking to establish. A community that is birthed, guided, empowered by the Spirit, who has that Simeon experience of receiving revelation of God and living to see that fulfillment of the revelation. That's what we're seeking here. We're not seeking to establish just simply another nice meeting. We're living to establish a community that, as we read the story of Simeon and others, as revealed in Scripture, we say, yes, that is our experience. That is what we're seeing happening among us. So from the north, with Washington, which is certainly the biggest population grouping within that area, you drop down to Holtonley Spring. And Holtonley Spring, believe it, and I was shocked when I found this, Holtonley Spring has a population of 37,000 people. And we have two households that travel through to us. And we believe that God wants to do something there. Holtonley Spring, at the very outside, is 15 minutes from either here or Durham. And we move south. And so as we look at this, we see that I believe that God has got an incredible harvest for us and is already encouraging us in our prayer. Because we want to pray more contacts with people in these areas. And it is a work that God undertakes. So what is the work? How do we respond to this challenge of God? Well, primarily through prayer. And there may be a time come where we physically need to move into these areas and do something. But at the moment, I don't believe that's where we're at. So on the one hand, I'm saying our response is, do nothing. And I'm always really happy when someone says the response is, do nothing. Because as my wife will tell you, I am an expert at doing nothing. Except pray. That's where we need to begin. Because unless God does something within that area, we can work ourselves into the ground. And all we will achieve is a nice funeral. But what God wants is far more than that. So I want to bring a passage of Scripture which I want us to use to inform our prayer life as we move into 2018 and look to God to perform miracle after miracle. And that is the passage in Ezekiel 37 where he's told to prophesy over the dry bones. And this is where our prayer life comes in, because I believe that what we need to do is take that passage from Ezekiel, use that to inspire us and speak life into this geographical area of over nearly 150,000 people living there. So let me read from Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord. And there again, we have this work of the Spirit in the Old Testament. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and sent me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live?" And it's the sense in which God asks us that question as we look in the areas we live. And he said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then the Lord said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you. You will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." Now, as we pray, we're calling God to bring heaven down to earth that we might see the glory of Jesus revealed, and it all is his glory. It's not ours. He said, "And you will know that I am the Lord," because as we look at what God is doing, we'll say, it can only be of God. It can only be of God that God brings a couple from Thornley to Chesley Street to join a community for worship. I believe that is a miracle of God. You know, there are connections there. There are family ties here with Chesley Street. But who would have thought it when we started here in Chesley Street? Who would have thought that as we continue in Durham, we have people traveling to Durham from the west end of Newcastle and from South Shields? Who would have thought it? But God has a means and a way of just bringing these things together. And we look at that and we say, "Then you will know I am God." Yes, we do know you are God, because you are doing amazing things among us. Now, let's move on to verse 10 of Ezekiel 37. "So I prophesied as he commanded me." So he was obedient to the revelation he received. Just as Simeon was obedient, Ezekiel is obedient to the revelation he has received. He prophesies, and he says, breath entered them. They came to life. They stood on their feet, a vast army. And what we need to do in our spiritual being is to prophesy into being that vast army that will stand up in the name of Jesus and have the banner of Jesus flying over their heads. And that is our vision for the future. That as we look to all that lies ahead, let us pray into the areas where they are, they're simply valleys of dry bones, and call to life that which God has in his heart. And let's see what God wants to do. And there is a response, because as God adds to us, it's up to us to build those joining connections with people. There is a response on our behalf where we welcome people in among us. There is a response where we need to show that warmth and love of Jesus to those God brings among us. And that's fine as long as God brings among us people who are like us. But it is a huge challenge when God brings people who are not like us. And that's where it all gets very challenging and very messy for us. But that's what God will do. God will add to us people who are not like us. Imagine a church full of people just like you. Well, I'll leave that, yes. What I should have said, wives, imagine a church full of people just like your husband. Yes, exactly. And I'm not brave enough to suggest that husbands ought to imagine a church.
Don't go there.
No, I won't say that. I won't go there. But you see, God has amazing things in store for us. And I believe it begins by a commitment to prayer. But not just, "God, will you do it?" Let's prophesy to the dry bones. Let's speak together in faith, because we know God's heart for the lost within that region is bigger than our heart. We don't stop doing anything that we are doing now. We don't stop reaching out into our neighborhoods, wherever we live. But let's just give some time to pray. And could I ask that if you are a leader of one of our Emmanuel communities, how many people here lead one of our midweek sessions? Marvelous. Could I ask that just on a regular basis you bring this area in prayer to the Lord, so that we are involving as many people as possible in this prayer venture and see what God will do with it. So it's easy, but it's also a life commitment. But what a wonderful place to be, because the reality is, unless God does it, it's not going to happen. But I'm not fazed by that, because I think that's exactly where God wants us to be, where we are relying upon Him, saying, Lord, I need you to come and make the difference.